Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
25 years ago, in the summer of 1997, one of the most influential war movies ever made was being shot here in Ireland, on a beach in County Wexford, to be precise, telling the story of the invasion of Normandy in World War II. The movie Saving Private Ryan is acclaimed for its graphic, truthful depiction of war, especially the sequence of the Omaha beach assault during the landings. And the beach at Curraghclough and Ballinesker was the location used for Omaha. And Evelyn O'Rourke met up with some of the men who spent weeks on the beach as soldiers for that movie. But before we hear about that, here's a reminder.
Colonel, I've got something you should know about.
Yes?
These two men died in Normandy. This one at Omaha Beach.
Sean Ryan.
This one at Utah.
Peter Ryan.
This man was killed last week in New Guinea.
Daniel Ryan.
The three men are brothers, sir. I've just learned that this afternoon their mother is getting all three telegrams. That's not all. There's a fourth brother, the youngest. He's somewhere in Normandy. We don't know where.
That boy's alive. We're going to send somebody to find him. And we're going to get him the hell out of there.
Some private in the 101st lost three of his brothers, and he's got a ticket home.
It's not going to be easy finding one particular soldier in the whole damn war.
High emotion, great movie. First things first, clearly we're all 150 because 25 years ago, I can't believe it.
I know, I was shocked when I saw that myself. I was going, oh, but I'm still only 26.
How did that happen? So going back to the beach, and sure. I was describing Curraghclough and Omaha and so on.
Sure.
Hundreds of Irish men took part in this, right? And it was a really exciting time in Wexford.
Of course.
Hollywood came to town, so you went back to revisit all of that.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been fascinated by the story because I remember just the epic nature of it, you know. And the story goes that director Steven Spielberg was planning to shoot this really ambitious film and was looking for locations, of course, and needed beaches that were similar to the real Omaha Beach. So he needed, obviously, a coastline with sand dunes and sandbars in the water and somewhere that he and the crew could really kind of take over for 2 months. So the decision was made to shoot on Curraghclough Beach, which is the longest beach in Ireland. But Claire, we have to be really accurate before people text us in, because we know that they were actually based on Ballinesker Beach, which runs into Curraghclough Beach, because everybody tells you this when you say, oh, Curraghclough. They go, well, actually, you know, it's Ballinesker.
Okay, careful now.
We are aware. The Omaha Beach scene cost $11 million to shoot, involved up to 1,000 extras, many of whom, of course, were members of the Irish Army Reserve, with 750 FCA members also. They were split into 15 groups of battalions, so huge numbers involved.
So 25 years on, you got to meet some of those men, and you got to walk the beach with them at Curraghclough or Ballinesker. Esker, whichever you prefer.
Yes.
To relive the moments.
Yeah, I met up with some of them. Paul Bulger and Johnny Fowler were just two of many people who would have walked with me, I'd say. Paul was there for the full 8 weeks, and it was very moving, really, walking along with them, because they were recounting the experience. And the one thing that they both said was that living that life, wearing the Second World War uniforms, getting wet over and over again, being cold, running through the sandblasts, that really gave them a unique sense of what it must have been like a little bit in real life for those young soldiers in 1944. So here Paul Bulger first outlines the work that he did on the film.
I'm Paul Bulger. I was platoon commander of B platoon for the film Saving Private Ryan, and in real life I was a lieutenant in the Reserve Defence Force in Ireland. We're in Ballinesker Beach, the scene of the filming of Saving Private Ryan. Curraghclough would be the area, but Ballinesker would be the specific point of where we are at the moment.
25 years ago, was there even a car park here?
No, it was just a little laneway leading down to a hardcore surface. Standing here looking across at that area there West End Field, we had a little village over here to the right. There was two field kitchens, and each one was capable of feeding, I think it was 1,500.
So it was like the army on screen had an army set up in real life to make that work.
Yes, the whole thing was run completely in a military style. And this section of the beach here was exactly the same as where the Americans landed in 1944.
So, Paul, we're walking along the beach here now. There's nobody here.
Similar to what it was when we were filming, breezy, choppy waves. When it happened in 1944, there was very heavy Atlantic storms for a couple of weeks. They were given an 8-hour window of relatively calm weather, but it was still pretty rough. Back in 1944, there was something like 100 tanks fitted with snorkels that were supposed to drive float in, and only two of them actually got here. The rest of them sank in the rough seas. At a massive loss of life.
Did you get that real sense of what it must have been like in real life for those soldiers?
Oh, you would, because every scene that you would film as regards the landing craft, you would be in the water for 2 or 3 hours beforehand, circling around. We had wetsuits underneath, and then a uniform over it, and then the rifle and stuff. But the problem here in Curraghclough, as was the same problem in France, 100 metres out or so from the beach, there's sandbars. Instead of the landing craft landing on the beach, they would run aground on the sandbars. The soldiers had to jump into the water, probably up to their knees. But then as they advanced towards the beach, the water rose and it would be up to their necks or over their heads. And that's not to take into account someone shooting at you at the same time.
So that was Paul, but you mentioned Johnny Fowler as well, who you met, another army veteran. What did he have to say about the experience, Ev?
Oh, he's very sweet about it because he's quite low key. And then he kind of, as he gets into it, he goes, I'm really glad I took part in it. You know, it really is something special that he's done. And they're so proud of it. And he said that watching it actually with everybody the first time was very moving, but it was a very intense experience at times. I mean, they were describing, Claire, for example, the sea would be filled with red dye for blood. There were dead fish, fresh dead fish, if you know what I mean, thrown in all the time. They were broken up into those platoons of 50, but that you were in and out of the water a lot. So it was quite grueling at times. So here, Johnny, tells me a little bit more.
No, we used to arrive here maybe 4:30, 5:00 each morning, maybe 3:30 some mornings. We disembark, head off with the platoons onto the beach to our locations,
right.
And you wait there until you're called, and then you're assigned a task for the day. We would actually be running in from the sea.
Right here where we're looking at now.
Yeah. There'd be stimulation of fire coming at you, tubes under the ground and under the water. And the air would be pumped through them, like bullets would be coming at you, like, you know.
So looking out to the sea there, you'd be coming in from the sea.
There, yeah.
And they would be simulating bullets at you.
We would be heading towards, and there would be guys up on top of that firing blank ammunition.
Was it anyway scary, or was it a big adrenaline thing?
Only blank ammunition, like, you know.
The other thing, looking at the film, was the anti-tank devices. That's what they were, the big black structures all the way down on the beach.
That's correct,
about that.
Yeah, they were scary looking at them there, like they were there to stop tanks and that.
So if I was standing here 25 years ago, that's what I would have seen all
the
way down.
That's what you would have seen the whole way down on that beach, and barbed wire as well, like, you know. And then there would be stimulation of explosives. It would be marked as well, so that'd be near you. You keep out of it. Decided to put our guys into the landing craft. We went out, and was like it is today, rough. And going out, there's a few guys, all right, with green eyes, all right, green faces. Then we came back in, and the stimulated the landing craft being blown up. Tom Hanks was in one, and the guys that were blown up were the one next to him. They hit the beach, and unfortunately, the tides were wrong, and we hit a sandbar. We went down into about 20 metres of water, we did, like, you know.
And what happened then? You come off, would you change?
We get off, and we might have done that twice before we had the chance to go home and change. And then we had to go over to dry the uniforms and have them ready for the next morning.
Yeah, not a very glamorous assignment.
No.
Evan.
No.
The movie was released in 1998 to critical acclaim, a box office hit at the time. But just remind us of the story of it.
Yes, so it's this idea of the United States Army Rangers Captain John Miller, played by Tom Hanks, we all love and adore, and his squad. And they were on that mission to search for paratrooper Private First Class James Francis Ryan, played by a very young babyface Matt Damon. And he was the last surviving brother of four because the other three brothers had been killed. The movie went on to win 5 Oscars, including Best Director for Steven Spielberg. But I'd forgotten about this. Controversially, it lost out to Best Picture to Shakespeare in Love, which has its own story now. But Saving Private Ryan is still described as the war movie that changed how war movies would be made from then, because Spielberg used that shaky handheld photography and that really brutal, unsentimental depiction of violence in 1998. So I met up with a journalist and co-author of a book about the movie called Battleground, The Making of Saving Private Ryan in Ireland. This is Thomas Mooney, and I met up with him right there on the beach to find out more about how the movie got made and what it really meant.
In retrospect, it became the most famous or infamous battle scene in the history of movie making. They often say that the depiction of the landing at Omaha was so bloody that it was responsible for filmmakers deciding to use handheld cameras to make movies like that. But obviously, you know, the reason they came to Wexford was because they got the help of the FCA reservist. Michael D. Higgins was arts minister at the time, so they had tax breaks. But they came to Wexford, and largely because Wexford was the only local authority outside of Dublin to have a film commission. And Curraghclough, as you know, is the longest beach in Ireland, so it was ideal because it has good parking. It's also beside Rosslare Port. When they were landing the Higgin boats, they were able to do a trial run at Wexford Harbour, and then it was a short trip over to Curraghclough.
Rewatching it, it is really shocking. I mean, the use of sound, the visuals of it, it's unflinching.
What makes the Omaha scenes interesting is that during the initial landing at Normandy, Omaha was a bit of a fiasco. Moscow. The Germans had a clear run at the American troops landing. They had also stocked the beach with what became known as Rommel's asparagus, so they had these obstacles.
These are the big black objects you see on the beach during that sequence.
Yeah, they were planted so that as the sea came in and the tide got higher, they could disable boats. 25 years after, it's easy to forget that did something that other movies didn't do. They used saturated colour to give a type of newsreel from the 1940s effect. And he also decided not to shy away from the violence of warfare, and you see that in the opening sequence. Wexler takes great pride that perhaps the most famous battle sequence was shot on the sands of Curraghcloe, and that we were able to create our own little bit of history.
That's Thomas Mooney, and we have a text in from a listener who says they've great memories for my then children who were watching the film being made. They have a mobile home close to the beach. The kids spent 2 months up and down the beach, and the crew were so kind. They even met Tom Hanks. And I know you asked Paul and Johnny about that, about meeting Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg and what the movie means to them 25 years on.
Was actually echoing that text. They said everybody was really relaxed and friendly. Apparently Spielberg's, so friendly with him, used to drive around on a quad bike and stop to chat to everybody, and Tom Hanks was lovely too. Now Paul spent a good bit of time with him, as he used to go to the hotel with him in the evenings, and he took the notes of the dailies so they could tell him what they needed extras to do differently. And the recurring theme from both of them though, Claire, was how the experience taught them how it must have been for the young men back in 1944, because of course they were in the army, you know, and how frightening and how young they must have been. And Paul has been to Normandy since to see the beaches for himself, and he says the movie really did shock people with its realism and unvarnished portrayal of war. So here Paul talks more about his good friends Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg and his thoughts on the experience 25 years later.
Part of my job was reviewing the day's shooting. I would end up in the Talbot Hotel here in Wexford with them, and they would tell me, like, this is what they want, or
somebody was wearing a watch or any modern
watch
stuff,
or modern stuff, even down to the cigarettes we were issued with. I think it was Lucky Strike.
And tell me about haircuts. Chatting to them then.
Very nice.
Steven Spielberg used to be on a quad here.
He would just arrive every morning on his quad and drive down to the beach and speak to everybody. And my sister met him, she's 3 miles from here, up on the road one day, and he'd gone along.
And then you and Tom Hanks would be in there trying to get your uniforms dried.
The thing you do when you come in wet and cold, you would lie on the ground, take off your helmet and put it under your head. I was there one day and Tom Hanks came in. And obviously he was wet as well. And he came over and he kicked me on the ankle to move over. And he lay down and he put his helmet under his head. And then every couple of minutes he would take out his helmet, look inside it, learn his lines. And put
so he had a script hidden in his helmet.
A script hidden in his helmet. And there was another scene where when the landing was over, you can picture a roadway with a lot of military traffic and people moving along it. And he had to cross that road. And that's when the command officer gave him his orders that, you know, he was going to save Private Ryan. I think about 10 times he crossed that road, because every time he'd go in and give his spiel to the commanding officer, he'd get it wrong. And he'd come back again and he'd take off his helmet, look at the lines. I was standing beside him, and he'd come back, "We'll do it again, Paul." And in the end, I said, "Look, Tom," I said, "you're going to have to get this right, because otherwise we're going to be here all night." So,
and we see you in the background.
I'm in the background. It was part of that scene where he was crossing the road. We were leaning over the bonnet of the Jeep, looking at the map and giving directions and stuff. That was my claim to fame.
That's Paul. Thanks very much. It's lovely going back. I still can't believe it's 25
years.
We'll
all be taking it out tonight now to have a look at it.
I know. If we're talking about it in 50 years, we have to worry then. Coming up next, Mary Moore will be with us. And Mary is a podiatrist and chiropodist. And we have very many questions in for her. But if you have any foot-related question, do text us now. 51551.
Text 51551. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.